Joel chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. The day of the Lord. And what a fearful day it is. The fearful day. Joel is used by God to call to Judah, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy hill, let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. And then in the next verses, up to verse 11, follows a great, powerful, telling description of this day. Just to read it, the punchy, jerky, sharp, powerful language brings home with force the terribleness of this day, the fearfulness of this day. It's close at hand, says God through Joel. It's a day of darkness, gloom. It's a day of clouds and blackness. And then this wonderful picture, like dawn spreading across the mountains. Inexorable. Covering everything. A large and mighty army comes, such as never was before, nor ever will be in ages to come. Whether this is locusts, whether this is the Babylonians, whether it's a mixture of the two or other forces, whatever it is before them, fire devours. A flame blazes behind them. And before it was like the Garden of Eden, a paradise. And afterwards it's like the Sahara, a desert, sandy. Nothing escapes them, verse 3. They have the appearance of horses. They gallop along like cavalry. The noise, they leaping over the mountains, crackling fire, stubble. Mighty army drawn up for battle. At the sight of them, nations are in anguish, verse 6. Every face turns pale. Warriors scaling the walls, marching in line, not swerving, not jostling each other, going straight ahead, plunging through every defense, knocking it aside. They never break ranks. They rush upon the city. They run along the wall. They climb into the houses. They're like thieves entering through the windows. The earth is shaking before them. The sky is trembling. The sun and moon are blackened out, and the stars no longer shine. It is the Lord thundering at the head of his army. It is the Lord's army. The Lord thundering at the head of his army, verse 11. His forces are beyond number. And mighty are those who obey his command. It's his command. It's not Babylon. It's not this or that or the other. They have their part. But it is the Lord's army. It is the Lord's voice. It is the Lord's troops. The day of the Lord it is, verse 11. The day of the Lord is great. It is dreadful, the dreadful day. Who can endure it? What should Judah do? Well, it should repent and return, of course. But what is God saying to us, my friends? What is he saying to the churches today? What is he saying to the individual, the believer, and the unbeliever? There is a day of the Lord coming, a day of reckoning. The Lord's day, the day of the Lord. It is the day that the Lord has instigated. Acts 17, verse 30. God has appointed this day. Now, what is your reaction, my friend? Is it one of repentance and reformation? Is it one of return to the Lord? Is it confession of sin? Turning from sin? Trusting in Christ? This is the day of the gospel. I could preach Christ from here. The day of the Lord is coming. The great day of the resurrection. The final judgment. Prepare to meet your God. That was Amos's word. God through Amos, Amos 4:12, be ready for this day. Of course, 2 Peter 3, many mock and laugh and dismiss. But the question stands, the day of the Lord is great when Christ shall come, when the dead shall be raised, including you, including me. And we shall all stand, I shall, you shall, stand before Christ. There's no escape. The day of the Lord is great. It is dreadful. Who can escape it? Who can endure it? Learn from Israel's history, my friend. Learn from Israel's history. The day of the Lord is coming. Don't worry about the dates. Don't be bothered too much about the signs. Be ready. Prepare to meet your God. And there's only one way to meet God. Only one way to the Father. John 14, verse 6. Acts 4, verse 12. Through Christ. No other way. I can give you another description of that day. It's taken from the book of the Revelation. And it's verse 15 to 17 of chapter 6. Just before that, it says in verse 14, the sky receded as a scroll, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And what that would that day be like? Here it is. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, that includes you, my friend, and it includes me, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Now I say that includes us, includes me. That's what it's like by nature, my friend. Outside of Christ, there is no rescue. But the mountains won't hide you. The caves won't hide you. Now those who are in Christ will welcome that day. So, if you are in Christ, my friend, sheltered in him, rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed cleanse me from my sin, from his guilt, from his power, and present me faultless before the throne of God. Outside of Christ, though, the only hope you have is rocks and caves and mountains, and even they will vanish away, and you will not be able to stand. Now, there are two questions here. The question in verse 11, who can endure this day? That's of Joel 2. And then verse 17 of Revelation 6, the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Outside of Christ, no one. And that includes you. It includes me outside of Christ. But by God's grace, I trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you? Will you call upon the name of the Lord now and be saved? Don't dismiss this day. Don't mock it. Don't laugh at it and throw it away and turn it aside. The Lord will come with all his power. The day of the Lord will come, and it is a fearful day. I say again through Amos, prepare to meet your God, and prepare now.